In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, the parable of the sower is a very familiar one to many of us. While the focus is always put on responsiveness and non-responsiveness to the message of the kingdom, I would like to shift a little bit from that and concentrate on the wideness of God's plan. Many people tend to associate this parable with farming or agriculture, but I think the passage goes far beyond the agricultural practices that focus on placing seeds on the soils that will provide the greatest yield. It is pretty obvious that this would certainly make sense for any farmer. I think most of you know I am a farmer's son. And as you know, I am also an Episcopal priest. What you may not know is that before I went to seminary, I received my first degree in accounting. And as an accountant, I studied efficiency and good methods of investment. But Jesus' method of investment goes to the contrary of all that. As a farmer, I can tell you that the passage will not make total, literal sense to most farmers, because it is almost impossible to find a farmer so careless as to sow seeds without any consideration of the soil. You will simply not find a farmer sowing seed on pathways, on rocky ground, without prior preparation or analysis of the type of seed and type of soil, and even less among thorns. My father and I, and all the farmers I know, prepare the soil with great care. Yes, we can lose the harvest for a multitude of reasons, but the goal is to sow seeds where and only where it is expected to yield something. The main character in the parable is, of course, the sower, but she or he is not the focus. The sower scatters the seed carelessly, recklessly, seemingly wasting much of the seed on ground that holds little promise for a fruitful harvest. Jesus invests in disciples who look similarly unpromising. He squanders his time with tax collectors and sinners, with lepers, the demon-possessed, and all manner of outcasts. Yet he promises that his indiscriminate sowing of the word will produce an abundant harvest. In the parable, we read about the seed, and we are told that the seed is the word of God. Normally, seeds are planted in dirt. The Bible tells us that Adam was the dirt man, Adama, meaning the ground or earth. He was formed from the dust of the earth. Here, God brings the gospel to Adam in the form of seed. God breathed the seed of life in Adam, and he was transformed from simple and inert dirt to a living being. He switches from an unresponsive dirt to a living person who will produce fruit before returning to dust. The question becomes, is there any hope for unresponsive soil? Is this parable just telling us to be good soil? Or who is qualified as good soil? Since soil cannot change itself, is there any hope for the hardened, rocky, in thorny soil? Or at least, are these destined to be unproductive forever? In asking these questions, we discover that God's plan is to work on us until we produce, until we become, until we yield. Notice that it doesn't matter whether, it doesn't matter to God whether we yield 30, 60, or 100 fold. So God's plan is that we become fruitful. That's why the theologian Jürgen Moltmann says that God's being is in God's coming, but our being lies in human becoming. We need to become fruitful. Jesus' investment in his disciples shows that he simply will not give up on them in spite of their many failings. He knows that Judas would betray him. He knows that Peter would deny him, but he keeps them as his close friends anyway. We trust that he will not give up on us either, but will keep working on whatever is hardened, rocky, or thorny within and among us. We trust in his promise to be with us to the end of the age. The danger we need to avoid in this passage is to associate a particular person or group of persons with the type of soils, or even saying that myself or my community is the good soil. While there is indeed the need to respond positively to God's message, seeing myself or my community as the good soil and other people as the unresponsive and unprepared soil would just widen the us versus them dynamic that exists in our societies. Instead, if truth be told, we can find evidence of all types of soil in ourselves and in our congregations. Sometimes the evil one and evil desires come and snatch away what is sown in the heart. There we are like soil at the edge of the road. Sometimes we receive the message with joy, but with no roots to face troubles and persecution. At that time we are a rocky soil. Sometimes we have the word choked out by the cares of the world and the lure of wealth. There we are a thorny soil. But sometimes we produce. Yes, we bear fruit and we yield 30, 60, or even 100 fold. We can also be good type of soil. Sisters and brothers, this parable has significant insights for the church of 2020 and beyond, which seeks and will seek to engage in God's mission. The tendency of today's church is to sow only where the harvest is guaranteed, and in doing so, we apply faithfully good notions of stewardship, making sure nothing is wasted. While the parable does not tell us to waste our resources in unpromising projects, it does come to spur and inspire us not to be afraid to try new things. It comes to refresh our minds that, like Apollos and Paul, we plant and water, but the increase is God's mission and work. Consequently, there is no apparent concern about first checking the quality of the soil or even about checking its yield. In a sense, God's love is sown foolishly, widely, as though there is an abundance of seed and there is no need to worry about wasting it. The parable of the sower, which Jesus taught, had much the same point. God is not going to give up. God is going to win. And this God's victory on the barrenness of the hardened, rocky, and thorny soil is very well connected to the first reading, where Rebecca was barren, and that after her husband Isaac prayed for her she conceived. The barrenness of Rebecca, transformed by God in her fertility to bear two babies or two nations, as scripture says, is connected to the barrenness of all the kind of soil we read in the gospel this morning. The fact that Rebecca did not stay barren, this is the lesson. The same way, all this kind of soil will, at least, and sometimes, any time of the history, benefit from God's wideness so that they become fruitful and fertile ground. The abundance of God's love reaches the east and the west, the north and the south. God's plan will reach every part of the world to sow seeds in every heart and in whatever type of soil people are right now. God will not give up on any one of us. Like we sing, in Christ, there is no east or west. In him, no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. May the barrenness of hearts, may the seeming infertility of our efforts be transformed by the wideness of God's seed of love, that we can truly become a great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. Amen.